and soldiers marching as to one, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master, forward into battle, sees banner go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to one, with the cross of Jesus growing on before.
And the triumph,
Satan's hopes of fleeing. On then, Christian soldiers, unto victory. Hell's foundations quiver at the shout of praise. Brothers, lift your voices, loud your anthems raise. Onward, Christian soldier, marching as to the Church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, all of body we, one in hope and doctrine, one in charity. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to one, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Onward, then, ye people, join our happy throng, blend with ours your voices in the triumph song. Through countless ages, men and angels see. Christian soldiers marching as to one, with the cross of Jesus going on before.
You may be seated.
Please open your Bibles with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Last week we looked at verses 1 through 9. And we're going to finish out chapter 4, verses 10 through 23 tonight. And it's also good to see so many people coming out, and I think right now with a Super Bowl thing is going on right now, isn't it? So thank you for all coming out, and I'll read the passage, and then we'll open in a word of prayer. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at your last care of me have flourished again. wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire the fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable and well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's open our word of prayer. Father, thank you for allowing us to be able to come here tonight and be able to look into your word and be challenged again to think about how you provide for us. And thank you for the example that Paul has put forth here tonight in chapter 4, how that he had learned that whether he was hungry or in need, he learned to be content and to trust you. And he was also thankful for the Philippians, time and again, be willing to selflessly, sacrificially give to him. And as we look at, as we examine our own lives tonight, may we desire to, as well, sacrificially give to others. May we also learn to be content with what we have, what God has provided in our lives. May we learn to trust you no matter what happens. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. And tonight, he's opening up again. In chapter 3, he talked about rejoicing. And this rejoicing was in the Lord. And so you look back at chapter 3, verse 1. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord. If you have Jesus Christ as your Savior today, you can rejoice because you have him in your life. He gives you the joy. And all other things, if we find our joy in anything else besides Jesus, we'll be miserable because it could be taken away. But only in Jesus and looking into his word can we find true joy. And also he gives us eternal life. And he gives us that joy to know that we will live forever with him in heaven. But tonight, verse 10 here, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. Paul's not giving a command here, but he's giving just a statement saying, I rejoiced because of something. And he says here, I rejoice because of you, Philippians. And so he's saying here tonight, these next verses here, he says, I rejoice because of you, because he thinks about over the past 10 years. He first established this church. He received the Macedonian call from present-day Turkey, and he traveled across the Mediterranean Sea, and there he was able to establish this church of Philippians. Also in Macedonia, you had Thessalonica and Berea. But this church really gave him joy because time and again, as he was traveling from city to city with his other missionaries, he had to provide for himself. And he was a tent maker, and he had to provide for himself. But this church, we know of at least three times, this church was willing to give sacrificially. And even though they were not a very rich church, it's believed that this was a smaller city than some of the other cities he ministered to, and they were willing to give sacrificially to help Paul and his friends. And you think about Thessalonica and other cities like Corinth, were very well financial off cities. Even in Corinth, he says, I'm not going to be a burden on you people, even though you could support me. I don't want you to think that's all I'm seeking. And so, but this church was desiring to support him, even as he traveled long distances from the church where he established. And so that's why tonight, look at this passage. He says, I am so thankful that you have been willing to sacrificially give to me. And so verse 10, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. I'd like to look back at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. You can just stay where you are, but let me just read this here. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. It says here, we want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God granted to the churches of Macedonia. During a severe testing by affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed into the wealth of their generosity. I testify that on their own, according to their ability and beyond their ability, they begged us insistently for the privilege of sharing in the ministry of the saints. And not just as we had hoped, instead they gave themselves especially to the Lord, then to us by God's will. And so he's speaking about this church, Philippians, and they loved serving the Lord by giving to Paul. And their excitement to get involved in the work of the Lord, even in other cities. And it's kind of like us. We here tonight, we have the ability on a regular basis, we monthly give to missionaries all over the world. And I'm not sure if I met, but in our business meeting, we talked about raising some of our missionary support. And we'll find out about that next week. But here it says, they were excited about being able to be involved in the work of the Lord and giving sacrificially to other people. And it says here, also in verse 10, that now at last your care for me has flourished again. And so here in 2 Corinthians, it's believed that 10 years before, he's established this church. And now, time and again, they sent Epaphroditus to come and to share this financial gift to them. Not only did they give this financial gift, they wanted Epaphroditus to stay and to minister to Paul. And so, again, they're willing to get involved in the ministry. And but it says here, at last your care for me has flourished again. He's not saying, you know what, finally, after 10 years, you've finally given to me. But he's saying that they didn't have an opportunity to give. But now I've asked, and the Lord has provided. And Acts 16 and 17 record how that they were able to get involved and providing for Paul. And Paul also ministered in Berea and Thessalonica, like I've already said, but only Philippi sacrificially gave. It says here, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity, like at the end of verse 10. And so, if you think about it yourself, do we daily look for opportunities to minister and encourage other believers? These Philippians wanted to encourage Paul. They wanted to serve the Lord and give sacrificially. And they wanted to look for opportunities to provide, see how they could help out the work of the Lord. Are we praying for opportunities to be a blessing to others? Think about it. So we go through our days. Are we not only looking for opportunities, are we praying, Lord, today, help me to be a blessing to someone else in this church. Help me to encourage. And that's what the Philippians desire. They wanted to encourage and be involved in the work of the Lord. And then think about this also. Would you be described as a blessing by other people who know you? And so when they look at you, do they see you as an encourager? Do they see you as a blessing? And I hope that's your desire as well as mine, is that we want to be an encourager to other believers here in this church. Continue on, verse 11. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. So think about it, being content. What is content? This is self-sufficient, or to be satisfied. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 5 through 8 says, therefore, I considered it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead to you and arrange in advance a generous gift you promised, so that it will be ready as you get, as a gift and not as an extortion. Remember this, the person who sows sparingly will also reap generously. Each person should do as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make every grace overflow to you, so that in every way, always having everything you need, you may excel in every good work. Paul is talking to the Corinthian church here. He's saying, talking about giving. He's encouraging them to give generously. And this Philippian church obeyed this command. They were willing to sacrificially give to the work of the Lord and to give to Paul. And it says here, Luke 3, verses 11 through 14. Jesus replied to them, "The one who has two shirts must share with someone who has none, and the one who has food must do the same." Tax collectors also came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He told them, "Don't collect any more than what you have been authorized." Some soldiers also questioned him, "What should we do?" He said to them, "Don't take money from anyone by force or false accusation. Be satisfied with your wages." So you think about this. Jesus was speaking about this situation, about how they should be content, and also how they should be generous with what God has blessed them. All the things, whether it's clothing or food or financially, they should be generous with what they've been given from the Lord. He also said to them, "Don't take money from anyone by force or false accusations. Be satisfied with your wages." And think about that, is lots of us have jobs, and that determines our financial, our ability to spend money here. But God wants us to be content with what we have and realize that even if we're still in need, He wants to be able to provide for us. And also verses Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, "Your life should be free from the love of money. Be satisfied with what you have, for He Himself has said, 'I will never leave you or forsake you.' Don't let the love of money destroy your opportunity to be a blessing." And so it's possible that these Corinthians were loving their money and not willing to give sacrificially to the church. And their love of money was withholding the ability to share the gospel as well as to be a blessing to people outside the church. And Paul confronted them and said, be generous. Be like these Philippian believers. Sacrificially give. Verse 12, it says here, "I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need, whichever state the Lord has placed you in." So think about it. This word abased means little. And so I know how to have little, and I know how to have plenty. Everywhere and in all things I have learned to be well fed and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. You think about this. Paul had probably been on his missionary travels, found himself where he was low on finances and to be able to purchase things, and so he was hungry. But yet the Lord continued to provide for him. Whether or not he had plenty or little, the Lord was able to minister and to encourage him and to provide for Paul. Often those who have little are the ones who are seeking the Lord more fully. So think about this. Those who are rich, they trust in their riches. They trust in their ability to do what they can with their finances. But those who have very little, those are the ones who constantly pray and ask the Lord to provide for them. They are trusting the Lord because they have little. Those who have a lot, they trust in their riches and in their ability to provide for themselves. And Jesus said this about this in Matthew chapter 19, verses 21 and 22. "If you want to be perfect," Jesus said to him, speaking to the rich young ruler, "go sell your belongings and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." Verse 22, "When the young man had heard that command, he went away grieving because he had many possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, I assure you, it will be hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven." It's not that it's a person's ability to buy, sell, and earn eternal life because of his selling his wealth, but it's his ability that he was trusting in his riches rather than trusting in the Savior. And so, also in verses 19 to 23, it says, "These people trust in their riches and themselves rather than repenting and receiving Jesus as their Savior." Think about these individuals. They trust in their wealth, and they're selfish with their money. Unlike the Philippian church we're seeing here tonight, how they were selfless. They sacrificially gave to the Lord. Verse 13 says here, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So God strengthens me in the same way demons strengthen evil men. Think about demons. They were fallen angels that God created. And they have the power to possess people. And they have great strength. And Acts 19, verses 13 through 16 says, "Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists attempted to pronounce the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits." And so they're trying to cast out, they had seen Jesus and his disciples cast out demons. So some of these Jews tried doing the same thing. And it says here, "I command you by the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. The evil spirit answered them, 'I know Jesus, and I recognize Paul, but who are you?' Then the man who had the evil spirit leaped on them, overpowered them all, and prevailed against them, so that they ran out of the house naked and wounded." So think about this power. That same power, it says here, Jesus is one who created these fallen angels. He also is in the same way, works in us, the same power. And it says here, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And through his Holy Spirit, he does not give us this mighty power like these false angels are doing, but he strengthens and supplies our needs. And it's his power. God's mighty strength is greater than these fallen angels. He puts his power in us through the Spirit who lives within us. When we resist the sin and renew our minds by reading his word, then ask him to give us understanding. He answers us by giving us supernatural strength, peace, understanding, and joy. Remember last book series, we were looking through Colossians. It speaks about this, how we need to put off the old life, look into God's word, renew our minds, ask God to give us understanding, and then trust and wait for the Spirit to begin to produce the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. That's the supernatural work that he's doing within us. It's only by, as we turn from our old life, put off the sin, be renewed by God's word, ask the Lord to give us understanding, and then wait for the Spirit. Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 through 16. It says here, "Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self. You are being renewed in knowledge according to the image of your Creator. And let the peace of the Messiah, to which you were also called in one body, control your hearts. Be thankful. Let the message also about the Messiah dwell richly among you, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts." And so if we do this, we put off the old life, the temptations of sin, we resist the sin, we are renewed in God's word, we ask for the Lord's help, and then we trust and wait for the Spirit. It says here he gives us the peace. He also produces in us joy by singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs. It's only as we rely on his strength in our lives. Verse 14, "Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress." Even though Paul trusted in the Lord to satisfy his needs, he is thankful that these Philippian believers joyfully, selfishly, sacrificially served him by ministering this financial gift. And so Paul was not saying, "You know what, I don't need your gift." He says, yes, in these first three verses, yes, I trust the Lord. But also in verse 14, it says, "Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress." In my situation, my financial need, you encouraged me, and also you sacrificially served the Lord. Verse 15, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only." So think about these Thessalonians and also the Bereans in Macedonia. They never sacrificially supported Paul, unlike these Philippians who did. Verse 16, "For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities." So several times they gave financial gifts to Paul. And they wanted to serve the Lord. They wanted to be a blessing to Paul. And also they wanted to show that they were growing in Christ. Verse 17, "Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account." Matthew 6, verses 19 to 21 kind of sums this up. It says, "Don't collect for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but collect for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And also says in verse 22, the eye is a lamp of the body. If your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. So think about it. If you focus so much on the treasure, this financial, the love of money, it will corrupt you. But if you truly, generously, sacrificially give to others, this is what means you're growing spiritually. It says here, don't trust in riches, but seek the Lord Jesus and know him more fully. And then verse 18, indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things you sent me, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. In Old Testament sacrifice, all sacrifices were provided, an aroma acceptable to God. The Philippians' gift was a spiritual sacrifice to God on behalf of Paul. It honored the Lord. Then verse 19, and my God shall supply all your need according to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Notice it does not say that all we want. Sometimes we pray and God either says yes, no, or wait. And he provides what we need. And in all the difficulties of life, he can take care of you. He created you, he knows what you need, and he will provide. Verse 20, now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. And Paul praises to God because of how he provides for his children. And our Creator has taken care of us. God is faithful to take care of the needs, our needs, every day. And then verse 21, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. This is Paul's final farewell, saying farewell to the Philippian believers. As he's in prison awaiting a possible death sentence, he says farewell. Goodbye, those who have brought me great joy. Thank you for your gift, and now farewell. Verse 22, all the saints greet you, but especially to those who are of Caesar's household. Remember back in chapter 1, how Paul was talking about he was in under house arrest, and even those who were chained to him, the guards who would guard him, they were hearing the gospel. It's also even possible that even some in Caesar's household, some who were maybe distant relatives of Caesar in his household, had came to Christ. And he says, these are now believers, and they greet you. And so it's either the Roman guard or possibly some high official in Caesar's household. And then verse 23, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So God's favor be with the Philippians. And he says, encourages them, you know what? If you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, he will provide for you. Trust him. And he will also continue to bless you as you seek him. And closing it for application, look for opportunities to be a blessing to others. Just like these Philippian believers, they wanted to be a blessing to Paul. We should pray for opportunities on a daily basis to be a blessing to other believers. We should also learn to be content in whatever state we are. And I remember when we first got married, Julie and I, and we didn't have a whole lot. Right before and right after my oldest son, Ryan, was born, we didn't have a whole lot. And even one of our Christian friends in the church brought us a bag of groceries, several bags of groceries, to provide for us because they knew I was not making a lot of money and she was staying home with my son, and God provided for us. And we're thankful for those encouragement we received from other believers in the church. It says here also, be generous with what the Lord has blessed you. And so the Lord has blessed you. Maybe look for opportunities how you can encourage others. Number 4, God will supply you with strength and peace when we trust him. And so when we trust him, he will give us that, remember back in Colossians, that peace and that joy he will provide in our lives when we trust in him. And then number 5, don't worry, don't complain, but trust your sovereign creator knows what is best for you. That's my conclusion tonight, is don't get distracted by what's going on in the world or your financial situation. Don't complain, don't worry, but trust. Be content where the Lord has placed you. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this message tonight. May we all desire to be a blessing and encourage other believers. Also, may we be willing to generously give because you have blessed us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. What song?